And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, I'm talking about we span south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Because, hey, why not? And making it all happen, being solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us, 3:35 p.m. Listen, before I go any further, I gotta take an aside here, and a lot of y'all know my military background. I got a real heart for things that are veteran involved, and I'm sure that many of you, like me, have been seeing these commercials and hearing radio ads and spots about water contamination at Camp Lejeune Marine Base in North Carolina. So, yeah, apparently this is legit, man. I wanted to check it out, so I called some friends of mine who apparently are working the issue. These are the guys at Riley & Jackson, a law firm in Birmingham. Riley & Jackson, I've known them for a while. We've even collaboratively worked on some things together. And so I asked them what they knew about it. They said that there are at least 19 different illnesses that have now been linked to contaminated water at Camp Lejeune. So after meeting with them and talking it through and seeing the details, I am convinced that if you or any family member was at Camp Lejeune for any period of time from 1953 to 1987, that if you were there during that time for training as a permanent duty station, as just a TDY, if you were there from 53 to 87 at some point, you should talk to my friends at Riley & Jackson. They will not charge you anything for the call. You can only pay them if you get a recovery. You can call them at this number. You ready? Riley & Jackson, 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000. I know them personally. I'd appreciate you telling them you heard about it on Right Side Radio so they'll know where it came from. And I got to do this because that is kind of like an ad there. No representation made that the quality of legal service to be performed is greater than the quality of legal service performed by other lawyers. There you go. All right, I did my thing, but I am legit about the Camp Lejeune thing. That's real doings. So give them a call. All right, changing topics. Whew, Boomer, that mass formation psychosis, man. And there were some great calls that came in on it too.
Really great. Like hearing their views and everything on it and their opinions.
Yeah, and then Stephanie added so much to it. But
wow. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and go. All right, you're a gun guy.
Oh, yes. And I'm excited about this next segment.
Oh, you're
well,
excited.
I'm excited to talk about it. I'm not excited about what's going on.
Okay, thank you. I was about to say.
Yeah.
You've seen some of the notes already, so I know you're not excited about some things that are happening. So I call this next one the run on guns. And by the way, I am not talking about a run on gun stores like they don't have enough stock in. Which, by the way, is a thing. You know, can't buy guns, can't buy bullets. The run on guns, though, what I am talking about is literally continuing efforts to degrade our Second Amendment rights. Now, I'm about as gun-friendly as they get. You don't have my background and do some of the things that I've had a chance to do and come out of it and not go, you know, I don't like guns. Well, then you were in the wrong line of work for a while. The run on guns, though, and it's not just, by the way, here we are in Alabama, a gun-friendly state. If you're not familiar with Alabama's gun laws, let me just go ahead and tell you, about as gun-friendly, Second Amendment-friendly in a legal perspective as it gets. We're not only an open carry state and have been for many, many years, we are now a state that does not even require a permit for concealed carry. Now, I recommend that you go ahead and just get a permit. I do, because if I cross borders and I go to another state, most of those states, and it's on the back of my concealed carry permit card, most of those states that I can read on the back of that card will still require a permit, Alabama being somewhat unique in that we don't. And that's new, by the way. That just passed in the last year. But here's the thing. Even in Alabama, like here's Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. By the way, I just agreed with Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin from Birmingham just the other day. For the first time, I was able to go on the show and say, I agree with Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. And then he does this. August 31st, Woodfin calls on Alabama to strengthen gun laws by displaying confiscated weapons. So Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham got up there and displayed several military-grade weapons that have been confiscated by city police. Let me go ahead and remind you, if you confiscate a gun from a criminal or seize it from the results of a arrest or a search warrant, you have not then done something where somebody was, you know, perhaps in lawful possession of the firearm. majority of the criminals who carry firearms are not abiding by the laws in general. So you're sort of targeting the wrong people. But Liberal Mayor Wendell Whitfin calls upon, he points the finger at Alabama legislators and saying it's time that we did something to fight violence. Well, I got news, Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. How about you stop weakening the laws in your own city? Before you start attacking the Second Amendment rights on a statewide level, why don't you go govern your city a little more appropriately? Stop doing things like hindering your police from being allowed to serve warrants. How about stop issuing blanket pardons all the way back to 1992 for drug offenses because you just want to legalize marijuana? How about not wearing legalized marijuana t-shirts when you do your press conferences, Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin? Maybe you setting a tone in your city that has made you one of the highest per capita murder cities in the world. All that to say, he thinks that the problem is that the legislature hadn't done enough to keep guns out of the hands of criminals. Well, I got news. You're encouraging criminals, sir. But here's where we really are. Storyline dated April 7th of this year, right off of AL.com. April 7th, Alabama legislature passes a bill to try to limit enforcement of presidential orders on gun control. So not only do we have laws on the books in this state that allow you to open carry, that allow you to conceal carry without a permit, we also have legislators. Like in this case, it was my friend Senator Gerald Allen from Tuscaloosa. It was called the Second Amendment Protection Act. You wouldn't think you have to have that, right? It says Alabama lawmakers have passed a bill intended to block state and local officials from enforcing executive orders by the president that would restrict ownership of use of firearms. What they're saying here is it's a bill designed to, and by the way, it passed. It was a bill designed to prevent overreach by the federal executive, as we're seeing things like Biden trying to overreach by doing executive orders, that if there are executive orders that would infringe upon Second Amendment rights or violate state laws related to things like open carry and concealed carry, that local and city officials, like Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, cannot enforce those. And he says here, Representative David Standridge, who was the House sponsor of the bill, said people in Alabama are concerned about the possibility of presidential orders on firearms. Well, they have a right to be, especially after last night's speech. After last night's speech where we're all a threat. I mean, literally, I spent yesterday at I've still got a bruise on my cheek. Apparently, I'm getting tender my old age. I was shooting sporting clays at a charity shoot. And it was for a ministry called 18 Ministries. We had the guy who runs it on here. I couldn't help but thinking at one point, 18 Ministries having a charity shoot. That is America right there. I am literally out here clinging to my guns and my religion. How about that?
Awesome.
It was awesome.
That's awesome.
And I got the bruise on my face to show that I fired over 100 rounds of 12 gauge. And I won't talk about how well I did. All right. But When you wonder about people passing state laws saying we want to resist presidential orders that would infringe upon the Second Amendment, you're like, okay, is that a populist? Is that really necessary? And then two nights ago, just one of the sources I went to, humanevents.com. Humanevents.com, breaking. Biden warns the brave right-wing Americans, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. What a stupid thing to say, by the way. You know, by the way, that's one of those things that when people say it, you think, all right, that was an eye roller. That was just stupid. But then again, you're looking at a guy who believes he can write executive orders knowingly to infringe upon constitutional rights. He literally says, and he said it in multiple speeches, the Second Amendment is not inviolate. In other words, he believes it can be done away with. He believes it can be infringed. You couldn't have a cannon back when they passed that. I got news. I bet you could have a cannon back when they passed that Second Amendment. I bet the founding fathers didn't mind having a cannon in their front yard if they wanted to. Somebody wanted a cannon. Like, cool, man. How'd you get that cannon? Forsooth, how did you come by this cannon, brethren? But speaking from Pennsylvania on Tuesday, this is several days ago, Joe Biden issued a message for, quote, brave right-wing Americans, saying that they need something a little more than a gun to fight against the United States, giving an example of an F-15 fighter jet as something to use instead. Here's the actual quote. For those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping Americans independent and safe, you want to fight against the country? You need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun, man. Keep in mind, he is the guy that fought Corn Pop. I know, Boomer, as you're looking for inspiration, you and I were talking about John Wayne off the air a little while ago.
That's right.
As you're looking for some inspiration, just keep in mind, your president fought Corn Pop.
Man.
I don't want to, I don't. Yeah. You know.
Wow. I mean, I can see it every time he goes on the TV. Whoa.
Just,
whoa, hey, watch me. I fought Corn Pop.
By the way, the face you're making does not come through on radio.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, Biden was announcing what he calls a Safer America plan to fund police departments, invest in services that, quote, address the causes of crime and reduce the burdens on police so they can focus on violent crime. Right now, I would say the burden on police is the government more than anything. But yeah, there you go. How about this, Mr. President? Rather than, you know, trying to suppress people's Second Amendment rights, maybe you ought to go down there and secure the border so the fentanyl quit spilling across the border, creating drug-induced crimes and drug-induced deaths left and right. All right. Boomer, I tell you what, man. I got more on this topic. Let's go ahead and take a break right now. We're about a minute ahead of schedule. Let me get us synced up here. I will start the next half of this segment or thereabouts when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You guys stand by. We got more on the Run on Guns right after this. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, man. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, listen, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. The Run on Guns. If you want to call in, you're welcome to it. 833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone number, 833-687-4448. So, yeah, the Run on Guns. So, several things are happening out there. There are attempts at every turn right now to circumvent things like, you know, most recent Supreme Court rulings that say, hey, you can't infringe on the Second Amendment. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Oh, by the way. But nonetheless, they continue to try. Well, here's the thing. One of the things that they're doing, the backdoor way to try and curtail the Second Amendment is to go after the manufacturers. Happens all the time. States pass laws, draconian laws, designed to overregulate gun manufacturers. And then they do things, too, like they ban certain things that those manufacturers actually make in their states. Well, okay, why would a manufacturer want to stay in a place? Can you imagine? Like, Alabama is now known as, you know, one of the legendary around the world for auto manufacturing. Can you imagine if we banned the sale of automobiles in Alabama? Well, then why would you want to be an auto manufacturer in a state that bans it? Well, the same thing with guns. What's on your mind, Boomer? You got a thing? Okay. I thought you were about to say something.
I'm just listening. I like this.
Okay. So, politicalinsider.com, story on August 29th. Gun makers are abandoning Second Amendment, anti-Second Amendment states. Well, this is happening left and right. America's gun manufacturers are not sticking around where they are not wanted. Many of those manufacturers who have been headquartered in blue states of the Northeast since the founding of the country are picking up their stakes and moving to more gun-friendly states. I say come to Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Come here.
I mean.
Come on.
I mean, yeah. And by the way, advertise on Right Side Radio. We'll take you. The latest of those to join the exodus from blue state America is Smith & Wesson, which is moving its headquarters from Massachusetts to Tennessee next year. The final straw for Smith & Wesson, it says in this article, came in the form of a Massachusetts state lawmakers debating a bill to ban the manufacturer of AR-15 rifles. If the bill passed, it would paralyze the company as a hefty 60% of Smith & Wesson's revenue comes from the sale of AR-15s. So they weren't going to say you couldn't possess an AR-15. They were just going to say we will hereby ban the manufacturer of AR-15s in our state. Well, guess where the biggest plant was Smith & Wesson had to manufacture AR-15s? In Massachusetts. So they were going to say, yeah, you can't do that thing that your shareholders invest in for you to do. Okay. Smith & Wesson is among 20 gun and ammo manufacturer or gun and ammo producers, including well-known names like Beretta, Kimber, and Remington, to have made the move to red states, taking thousands of jobs and millions with them. In this case, Smith & Wesson CEO Mark Smith said the decision to move was extremely difficult, but the company was left with no options. John Harris, the executive director of the Tennessee Firearm Association, easily summed it up. He said, "This is going to go where they're wanted." And there you go. Smith and Wesson, yeah. Smith and Wesson will open their new home in a Tennessee county that declared itself several years ago a Second Amendment sanctuary. So yeah. They went and picked one that says, "Hey, we like guns around here. Y'all come on down." And they
did. Come on.
Yeah. Y'all come on down. All right. Here's another one, though. Things that happen in the background you don't even realize are being done sometimes to curtail your Second Amendment rights. Well, how about this? How about if the federal regulatory burdens that they already place upon firearm owners begin to redefine what is actually a firearm? Oh, let's wait and see. So I would think, wouldn't you, that a firearm is that device, whether it be handheld or a long gun, magazine-fed, bolt-action, breech load, whatever you got, and it fires, you would think, but how about just the pistol grip by itself is a firearm? How about if you buy a new pistol grip for your, I don't know, Glock 19, it is a firearm. It can be regulated now. How about if you bought a new slide, or in my case, like I had somebody help me put in a new trigger in my AR, so I've got a competition trigger in my AR. How about if parts like that begin to get declared a firearm under federal law? Well, wow. It changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. So NRA put out a piece August 29th. That's what, 3 days ago? Due to the complaint, and by the way, they said that the ATF had to, like the ATF put this regulation together. It went into effect just this week, but it was so indecipherable that the NRA, had, I mean, the, excuse me, the ATF had to issue an apology almost by saying, due to the complexity of the rulemaking process and the resulting significant number of comments and revisions in response, the final rule inadvertently contains some technical errors in the regulatory text. And so they had to make corrections. But here's the bottom line. They are doing things like trying to define what is now a ghost gun. They are doing things, but here's part of it. The rule, however, redefined certain key terms in federal gun laws. Things like frame, receiver, and even firearm itself to try and bring more unfinished gun parts at an earlier stage of manufacture under the jurisdiction of laws that pertain to operable guns. This supposedly would make it less convenient for criminals to skirt gun control laws by buying the parts. And let me ask you a question. How many thugs on the street do you think are out there going, you know, I believe I'm going to go ahead and order the parts and build me a special, you know, I want to put together my own custom. I'm going to take that Kimber I've got, that 1911, and I'm going to go ahead and just customize that thing. No, they're not. They're stealing what they've got, and it's got to work when they get it, and they don't even know how to, most of them know how to even break it down or clean it. The idea this is really going to stop crime is ridiculous. But yeah, okay, go ahead. Let's go ahead and redefine just the slide itself as a firearm. All right, they've got all the things in here about ghost guns and everything else, but what I'm saying is this. One of the means by which they attack our Second Amendment rights is through regulation, and they slide this stuff in, or they come after the manufacturer, not just like trying to tax them or say, you know, but like, for instance, in that case, Massachusetts, Smith & Wesson left the state because they were literally talking about banning what is basically Smith & Wesson's 60% of their annual revenue in that state where they made it. They knew exactly what they were doing. They couldn't take AR-15s off the shelves at the gun stores, but they could try to take them out of the manufacturer. They couldn't take, by the way, the, you know, firearms out of the hands of criminals, but they're going to go ahead and say that you, as a law-abiding owner, you can't buy a gun kit or a modification kit and do something to customize your own weapon. They're trying. I got a little more on this. We get back. You're going to want to know what they're trying to do with credit card companies. Wow, talk about invasive. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, The Run on Guns. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here, hour three, live from the Right Side studio, local, state, national. Man, we are covering down on all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, by the way, if you did not know, I got to tell you this. If you did not know it, so Right Side, we've got quite the production here. I was telling Boomer earlier about how much I appreciate how he's just jumped in here since we syndicated the show. He came on board, and he is like a techno whiz. But we've got technology all, I mean, I'm amazed. We could put a man on the moon, I think, from this room right now. We are a go for launch. But yeah, a lot of our stuff, though, can be found on rightsideradio.org. That's our website, rightsideradio.org, which, by the way, aside from the fact that we are now live streaming the show, like you can watch Boomer and I here in studio if you wanted to, if you were so inclined. We live stream the video and the audio. You can also, if you're getting outside of the overly broad range of all of our AM and FMs that we are syndicated with, you can still catch the live stream audio just by listening to it at rightsideradio.org. And then on top of that, we podcast the show. So we podcast the show every day. Boomer takes the show, breaks it down into manageable parts, hands it off to Birdman. Birdman then uploads it into every podcast form known to man. And I am pleased to say, excited to say, actually, we just passed 75,000 downloads of the show. That is just huge, man. I still can't believe it. But thank you all for that. So, yeah, rightsideradio.org. The things that I write, I got an op-ed that comes out every week, published in a bunch of different periodicals around the state. It's on there usually every week, too. And then links to our social media. All the stuff, man. All the stuff. Rightsideradio.org. All right, well, listen, I got some more stuff in this segment of the Triple Dipper that I'm doing. The run on guns. It's amazing to me what they will try to do through backdoor means, and really sometimes front door means, to get around our Second Amendment rights. They're not winning in court. The Supreme Court of the United States has been very clear of late that the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. They struck down the New York City law. In fact, let me grab that story next. I'll move through my stack here and grab that one. It's towards the bottom here. Here it is. NBCNewYork.com, dated August 31st of this year. That would be, what, 2 days ago. It says, so what exactly is Times Square? New York City has to figure it out before the new gun law starts Thursday. New gun law? Pray tell. Didn't the Supreme Court of the United States to strike down New York's gun law about 2 months ago? Yep. So what'd they do? They just jumped in there and made a new one. Just going to go for it, y'all. So, yeah, it says the U.S. Supreme Court strike down of New York State's concealed carry law in late June unleashed an immediate flurry, I think it meant, of fiercely divided reactions. Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul signed, in short order, a state law to preserve some firearm limits, especially in what the law calls sensitive areas. Sensitive areas. Sensitive areas. Well, a sensitive area is a place where you may still be able to carry, but you have to go through special considerations. You have to take special circumstances into play. And the crossroads of the world, Times Square, I love Times Square. Times Square is now considered a special area. The only problem is it's not clearly defined what is Times Square. Is it one block out? Is it right there in the center? Is it only when you could see the mass levels of electronic signage? Well, here's the deal. Whenever they wind up getting around to defining it, which they haven't yet, Times Square will be a sensitive gun zone starting on, well, this Thursday, actually, yesterday. Oh, wow. If you live or work there and you have a license to carry, you can still carry a gun, but you need to have it in a lockbox, even if you're walking, a lockbox, at any point that you're inside the sensitive zone. If you don't follow these rules, you could be subject to a Class E felony. A felony, unless you're walking with your gun inside of a lockbox. Have you seen some of the crime in New York City? What good is having it in a lockbox going to do you? But it went further than that. How about this? In order to have a handgun license, applicants have to show they have, quote, essential character. Who decides that? Essential character temperament and judgment necessary to be entrusted with a weapon. In doing so, they have to also turn over a list of their social media accounts, and they have to provide 4 character references, take 16 hours of firearm safety training and 2 hours of practice at a range, undergo periodic background checks, and turn over contact information for their spouse, domestic partner, or any other adults living in their household. What in God's name? And by the way, any birthmarks and, you know, who you voted for president, I guess. That's the most invasive. I mean, this won't stand. This has got to be struck down as being overly invasive and burdensome. It creates what they call a chilling effect on your Second Amendment rights, I would say. That's not in the article, but I'm just Lawyer Phil saying that's a chilling effect, they like to call those things, on your rights. I got a caller, bud? Yeah, line 1, Carl from Decatur. Carl, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, you sounding good, and I just wanted to speak about this gun issue. You know, I'm a Democrat and I'm conservative, and you know, I would like to switch parties, but the deal is that the Republican Party isn't doing anything. It reminds me of what Rush Limbaugh said years ago. They like to lead from behind. They don't want to stand up for social issues. You know, they don't even want to speak about social issues, and that's what and where, you know, they need to define and fight for the Republican Party. But the reason why I'm a Democrat is because, you know, I'm conservative, and I try to reach some of these people. Like when our President Trump was inaugurated, you know, there were a lot of minister friends I had. They didn't like guns. They, you know, they hated them. And I would quiz them, you know, about different, you know, scenarios where they would need one. However, when Trump became president, all of them went out and started buying weapons, you know, and even buying their kids weapons and stuff, you know.
You talking about your Democrat and friends, dude?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they did. And I say, now that's, you know, kind of like me. In a sense, you say that I'm a Republican because I'm conservative. You know, that's not right. I just look at issues. And a definition of discernment, to me, that I like is the ability to know what's right and wrong, but also what's almost right and wrong. And if you can understand, I like what your wife encouraged you to say, and that was there is more of us than there are of them.
My wife is getting famous for that one too, Carl. I'll tell you what. Well, I mean, you said a couple of things. I got to agree with you on some stuff here. So I love the fact that kind of what you described is you consider yourself, even though you're a Democrat, you're an issues-based voter. You take into account certain things and you study the issues, apparently. And I do like the fact, though, that you also said you try to use discernment, because I think a lot of folks just, they're like sheep. They just do whatever the party says. Whereas it sounds like you're trying to have a conversation and issue some discernment into your results, and so
that's
I appreciate
right.
that.
Well, they don't want to hear it. They just like a willfully defiant child.
Well,
you know, everything you say, they you know, got to have a irrational comeback.
Well, you said you thought about being Republican. I'm just going to go ahead and say, come on down, man. There's a cure for that Democrat thing. We can take you.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, I will. I can say that, you know, I'm one leg now, one leg man, but I still run better than the government.
All right, Carl. You have a great day,
right,
man. Take care.
You too.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, I love that call. Line 2, JT from Lacey Springs. JT, how you doing, man?
Quite well today. I love it when there's a Democrat that calls in and they're actually crawled up on top of the fence post. You
know, he's leaning over the fence, man. Leaning over the fence.
Absolutely. Anyway, though, he's talking about, you know, what all they got to go through to get a permit.
Yeah.
And then have their weapon in a lockbox.
Yeah.
Rationale kind of goes out the window. But, you know, if I got to go through social media background checks and so forth, you know, who's going to be doing these background checks?
Exactly.
And the only ones I can think of would be the fake book, fake checkers.
Well, and you're exactly right. I mean, and one of the criteria, too, is they have to determine if you have essential character. What does that even mean?
Yeah, agreed. Define it.
Yeah, I don't
know. The definition.
I don't know if they can.
And also, think about this. Walking down the street with a lockbox.
Yeah.
And odds are there's a weapon in that lockbox. What's the odds of that person getting from point A to point B and still have his lockbox?
Yeah, no doubt, especially in New York City right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's gonna be people looking for lockboxes. You know, and a good screwdriver and a hammer will open most of these over-the-counter lockboxes. You know, nobody's gonna be toting a 20-pound Sentry safe down the street with them. So.
No, you know, you bring up a good point, JT. I don't see anywhere in this article that I've got here how they define a lockbox. I mean, if I put a rubber band over a shoebox, have I locked a box? I don't know. I just wonder.
Well, it's a fastener.
Fastener. I done locked my box. What do you think about that?
We'll
see. Yeah. Hey, JT, you got to run to a break, man. You have a great day. Have a great Labor Day weekend, all right?
You as well, and be safe. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, I got a little more to wrap this up when we get back. So, Boomer, take us to the break. We will do that and come right back with wrapping up the section on the run on guns. Because, man, it's not always about the laws they pass. Sometimes they got some sneaky backdoor ways of doing things like the one I hadn't told you about yet. Credit card companies? What the heck? The Run on Guns, number 2 in the Triple Dipper. You want to call in? 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm saying we are saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I got a caller I'm going to take in 1 second, but let me just tell you this one. The Epoch Times, a story dated 2 days ago. The Epoch Times headline, Gun Control Group Wants Credit Card Companies to Flag Firearm Purchases. What?
Whoa.
Yeah, see, I told you, man.
I didn't catch that one.
They got backdoor means of trying to get to your Second Amendment rights. A gun control advocacy group is seeking to make credit card companies flag, quote, suspicious purchases, end quote, of firearms, suggesting that restricting such activities might end up saving lives. So they want banks to flag this, quote, suspicious activity in the same way they report fraud, identity theft, etc., to local law enforcement officials. For this purpose, the 9,000 standalone gun and ammunition stores across America would have to be categorized under a new merchant category code within the financial systems, the organization states. At present, gun stores are just classified as sporting goods. As such, institutions have no way of identifying people who are suspiciously purchasing thousands of dollars of firearms or ammunition. I mean, thousands of dollars. You can buy one good AR-platformed rifle with optics on it, and you're in $2,000 at that point. All right, I'm just saying, this is ridiculous. They're trying to find a way to our Second Amendment rights without, quote-unquote, infringing upon our Second Amendment rights. I got a caller on line 3. Let me grab that real quick. Marty from Hartsville. Hey, Marty, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
I've got a comment. By the way, I loved your two interviews at the end of the day yesterday.
Oh, well, thank you.
I've got a kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment. And then a serious question.
All right.
First, I've heard during the interview with Lieutenant Colonel Patterson about the nuclear codes and all that. But the things he's been saying about the Clintons, this is the tongue-in-cheek part. I'm surprised he hasn't mysteriously committed suicide over the last 20 years.
What? He made that point himself during the interview. Or was that offline?
No, remember? that was during the interview.
That was during the interview,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of made the point, I'm still here. But, yeah.
I heard that. Yeah. And but my question is, and Colonel, in your time of service, I'm sure that you have probably witnessed through the upper chain of command things that you would call dereliction of duty or things that you didn't agree with. And what he saw, I mean, what kind of recourse would he have, or what could he have done to, I mean, Nixon got impeached for 17 minutes of a blank tape. And now we're talking days or months, maybe, when the nuclear codes were lost.
Yeah, and you know, Marty, what's ironic in that is here we had a sitting president lose the nuclear codes and not tell anybody, but a former president has what he says are declassified documents at Mar-a-Lago, and he's being like branded as a terrorist almost for daring to have those
right.
documents. I think here's the thing. I heard a guy say one time, and I thought it was just so good. He said, you know, if you receive, as a military officer, if you receive an order that is illegal, immoral, or unethical, you can choose not to follow it, but being popular is not one of the criteria. And that's the thing. I have seen some orders here and there that I thought bordered on, you know, at the very least, unethical or immoral. I've never seen something as egregious as a commander-in-chief losing the nuclear codes. But I think that Colonel Patterson, basically the only thing he could do at that point was what he did was write a book and make sure the world knew.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't want to be in his position. I really wouldn't. When that happened, when he found out they were lost.
Well, I tell you what, Marty, he also said that he's thinking about moving to Alabama, and I hope he does.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm here. I'm a transplant. I'm one of what they call a damn Yankee. So.
Oh, we'll take you. You're a carpetbagger. We'll take you. Are you a naturalized citizen of Alabama now?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, welcome home.
For almost 20 years.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, you're from here now. All right, Marty. We appreciate you. Have a great Labor Day weekend, man.
All right. You too.
That is good. By the way, that was a great interview yesterday, Boomer. I mean, both of them. And then Andy Thrower came in from 18 Ministries. That was one of those days where I had to almost like pinch myself. I get to do this for a job. This is cool.
Absolutely incredible. And knowing even for 18 Ministries, I didn't know that this month was like Children Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, God's timing was on that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, here we are. We lined up an interview with a guy whose passion in life is reaching out to support families who are going through childhood cancer issues. Mm. And it turns out the day he came to do the interview was the beginning of Childhood Cancer Awareness Month.
Wow.
I'd like to say we planned it, but I think it was God who had that one in his hands.
Yes.
All right, listen, we got a break coming up right now, going into the last half hour of the show before the Labor Day weekend. You want to call in when we get back from this break, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Oh, yeah. It's gonna be a good weekend, and I'm looking forward to it. We got family coming to stay with us for the weekend. Going to have some good times on the back deck, and hope the rest of y'all do, too. All right, folks, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid conservative. 30 minutes left. We'll be right back.